You're listening to WWBC Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, right here on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online on God's magnificent planet worldwide.
That's right, on the World Wide Web, 1510 WWBC. You can hit that Listen Live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. That's 1510wwbc.com. And then, of course, we share all of that on our social media platforms, which is just about everything. And then our website, which is sitamediainc.com.
That's right, Ellen.
We have everything on there.
And for listeners who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time, our show is here. We're heard every Monday from 1 to 2 right here. Whether you want to talk about financial literacy, whether you want to talk about credit card debt, maybe you want to write a book, maybe you have an idea to write a book, maybe you're running for office. Some folks call in to talk about being a mortgage broker. We had somebody who came in to talk about the real estate market a couple weeks ago. We give you a platform and a voice on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And we know that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility, so we ask everybody to play nice, right? So anyway, so for our sponsors who help sponsor our shows and keeps us on air, Ellen, it's been 15 and a half years, and we're doing really well with our downloads too, right?
Fantastic. Usually around 16,000. Sometimes we get almost 21,000 downloads a week. It just depends on when I post it. It's amazing. I'm just playing with the algorithms now. But 16,000 people a week are downloading the show and listening to all of our great guests. Don't forget, on the website, you can also search by name or topic. So this way it's easier for you to find your favorite candidates or your favorite authors or your favorite new business owners. So you get to find all those folks.
Right. And so we like to say that we speak to people right here in Brevard County, Florida, state of Florida, all 50 United States and worldwide. We've had people that called in from India, Indonesia, Canada, China, you name it. We've had people that called in. And thank you, Danny. Our show is heard loud and clear. So my good friend Ellen O'Neill is here. She is my right hand on the show. Allie is here with us. And then we have two wonderful guests today. My good friend Rick Singh, who I like to say is a Indo-Caribbean American like myself. He is running for clerk of courts in Orange County, and he's on the phone. He's going to join us in a minute. Our second segment is with Timmy Tucker, and if you ask Alexa, Alexa already knows Timmy Tucker, and she knows that she's running for judge right here in Brevard County, Florida, and that is the Brevard County Court Group 3 in Florida, correct? And you could say hello if you want to, and then we'll go to Rick.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for letting me be here.
And that's Timmy. So Rick, I think you're on, and I guess we're hearing a little bit of an echo. Is that your cell phone, Rick?
Yes, I am on the air. Let me switch over to my cell phone.
That's right. Second. Yeah, because that's what we say, that our show is fun, unscripted, informative, and very educational, because you're not sure what's going to happen on air, right? But anyways, so for my listeners who are tuning in, my good friend Rick Singh is a candidate for the Orange County Clerk of Courts. And I just thought I would invite him to call in for a little bit this morning and speak with our listening audience and our friends around the world, because in my mind, Rick is who we want our sons to grow up to be. He is who we want the immigrant who is coming to the United States to be. He is just a guy that is resilient, he's hardworking, And I know that our ancestors and our forefathers are looking down at Rick Singh and saying, way to go, running for office, not once, but the second time, because Rick was a property appraiser as well. So, Rick, tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and why you decided, I mean, you went the route of college and the military, but then you came back and you decided to give back.
So, Sita, before I talk about me, let me talk about you.
Oh.
So this name, to your listeners, this name Sita is a very unique name, a very blessed name, I should say. And it is taken from one of our original texts, which is the Ramayana, which is written many, many millenniums ago, translated into the Hindi vernacular from Sanskrit, which is a classical language of the day. And the main character of this, the main historical character of this was Sita. And I've read many texts in many different religions and many different books. And Sita was the ideal of womanhood. She exemplified what it is to be a human. And this name comes with a tremendous amount of responsibility. And for those of you that have the opportunity to read about Sita, the Sita, I think you will find very, very much similarities with this Sita that you're listening to. So,
thank you.
That was sweet.
Thank you, because you know when I speak about Mother Earth, I always remember that movie that we all saw when we were kids, the Mahabharata, when the Earth opened and Sita was enclosed in it. Right? How can you not?
Yeah, before we go into use up the time for theological discussion, I want to say that, you know, I've studied her, I've lectured on her. And she is, you know, the great writer, the great philosopher and Swami Vivekananda, you know, he said that there will be many Rams who was an embodiment of God, but there will never be a Sita in the world. So again, this is coming from one of the highest authority in Hindu tradition, and he's giving her these accolades. So anyway, that's that. I am so happy to be with you today. I've been looking forward to this moment for a long time. You ask about my background. My background has come from tremendously humble beginnings. I was born in a place with no running water, no electricity, dirt floor. I lost my father when I was 10 years old. My dad passed away. I actually left school at 8 years old to take care of him because he had a stroke. But these are the cards you are dealt. And then my mother moved to New York City. This was a woman who worked 3 jobs as a maid to make ends meet, but she didn't miss a beat. And I tell you that to tell you that I had a front seat into watching survival, watching survival with dignity. You know, she was impeccable in everything she did, but she still made time to give back to community and give back to society, you know. So I owe everything that I have accomplished in my own humble capacity to this great woman, my mother, and watching her, you know, watching her evolve into you know, with the aspect of survival and making ends meet and doing the right thing. So important. And she always told me as a child, you know, anytime you go into a room, no matter what, always leave that room better than when you enter. And this was, of course, a very philosophical discussion, but it had so much meaning, and it still has so much meaning to me. So this is why I run for public office, and this is why the first opportunity I had to serve was to join the U.S. Army, and this is why I became a soldier. So that's a little bit about my humble upbringing.
Yeah, you also were the property appraiser, too.
Yeah, Sita, so I ran for office in 2012. You know, I actually worked in that office in an entry-level position after being a businessman. I actually went to work for that office, working for minimum wage, and worked my way up, went to night school, went to evening school, got certified as a state-certified property appraiser in the state of Florida. And then I went in the private sector. You know, I'm always bitten by the entrepreneurial bug. So I went in the private sector and started a real estate company, an appraisal company, a mortgage company. And timing was impeccable. We just blew up. And then I sold those company in 2010, I should say, and heard a speech that inspired me from a guy you might know. His name is Barack Obama. And he talked about public service, and I got bitten by that bug. And, you know, I was not a politically active person. I really had no political acumen, if you will. And I actually Googled, Sita, how to run a political campaign. And up popped the Sorensen Institute for Political Training, University of Virginia. So I applied to this institution and I said, hey, I want to come to your institution to learn how to run a campaign. They responded no for Virginia residents only. I wrote them back a letter. I said, would you reconsider? I once lived as a soldier in Virginia. They said no for current Virginia residents only. I wrote them back a letter, wrote the check for the tuition, sent my daughter's birth certificate to prove that I was actually a Virginia resident at one time. I had a lease. I sent that. So I sent all the documentation, prepared my case, and sent it to the dean. And he called me and he said, you know, you're a persistent SOB,
yeah,
but you've made history. So that was my avenue into the political realm, if you will. Ran for office against an extremely powerful gentleman. He was a 30-year incumbent in Orlando politics, a household name. His wife was a vice president of UCF. So, again, these were the amazing power couple. And I ran a grassroots campaign. Nobody knew who I was. But, again, hard work, dedication, perseverance, and I made history by becoming the first minority to ever occupy that position in the state of Florida, actually. I was probably one of the first minority constitutional officers in the state of Florida. And so I was so blessed, so honored and privileged to be the property appraiser of Orange County.
Yeah, and you know, in so doing, you inspired so many of the Indo-Caribbean Americans here, too. We all felt lifted up when you won. So, you know, you're like our brother, you know, you're like our son.
Thank you. You're
that's why I said to I said to Ellen, I said, I'm having him call in on the show today, because I feel strongly that people like you who have the commitment that you have for public service, it's awesome and it's inspiring. And you took a route that so many, you know, like when we're little, our families tell us, you know, lawyer, doctor, engineer, open a business. But you did all of that. In addition, you decided to run for office for the Orange County Clerk of Courts now. So outline your platform for us. What do you want to do when you get, because I know you're a guy, you like talking about technology and advancing public records and all that. So talk to us a little bit about your vision for the Orange County Clerk of Courts.
So, you know, Sita, I ran the office as property appraiser, and you will find many people telling you what they want to do, what they will do, what they aspire to do. I take a different approach. I tell the voters what I have done and what I plan to transform the office of clerk of court. And what I mean by that is telling them that as the property appraiser of Orange County, we were ranked number one in the state for accuracy, number one for efficiency. I won a Stevie Award for customer service, a digital media award for technology. And I plan to transform, to take the same talent and skills to the office of clerk of court. The office of clerk of court has a challenge right now. They are the lowest ranking office in Google ranking, if you will, 2.5 stars. That is deplorable. Think about this. Would you go to a restaurant that had 2.5 stars? If you have a loved one that needs surgery, would you take him to a doctor, him or her, to a doctor that had 2.5 stars? Absolutely not. But a citizen wanting to use the clerk of court office, they don't have that choice. So they're forced to go and get subpar service. So I plan to change that by enhancing customer service. I plan on, you know, training our staff, hiring the right people, and again, delivering quality service to the taxpayers of Orange County. Government should and must work for people. In the area of technology, Sita, we are, you know, I pride myself on being one of the few elected officials that's actually gone to MIT and study artificial intelligence in its infancy stage. I plan to bring this this technology to the office of clerk of court. You know, think about this. You can order a pizza online. Why can't you get a form online? Why can't you do your business online? So again, this is one of the things that I plan to do, utilizing GIS technology, which is something I've really mastered at the property appraiser's office. And this is something that I want to bring to the clerk of court office. What GIS does, it enables you to measure every aspect of your business, right? And you can't improve something unless you measure it. Again, I talked about the 2.5 stars. If somebody was watching that, they would improve it, because that's a measurement. And I plan to do that in all aspects of this office.
Yeah.
Measure it.
So you're going to focus on efficiency and accountability as well as modernization.
Absolutely. It's a total package. You know, you have to look at ways to save dollars. You have to, these are taxpayers' dollars. We've got about a $40 million budget. I pride myself on saying that, you know, as a property appraiser, I gave back $1 million every year from my budget because I found innovative ways to save money from my budget to give back to the taxpayers.
Yeah, and I like that you said you want to make sure that you could improve the system by reducing long lines, because that seems to be one of the things, not just in almost every area, people have to wait for stuff, and it'll be good if you could shorten that time span, because then people have time to go back to work, go back to their families, pick up their kids from school. You know, you organize your day.
Absolutely, absolutely, especially with the clerk of court office. They determine jury duty, you know. Jury duty is something, I don't know how to do it in Brevard, but in Orange County, you get a paper, you lost the paper, your dog eat the paper, your kids spill milk on the paper, whatever that is. I plan to do this in a digital format. You get an email, you go to a portal, and of course, you do your business online. If you have an excuse, you put it in there. Again, all of this can be handled with technology. Of course, there are some of us in our society that want to continue with paper, and that's going to be an option. But that's not going to be the normalcy. Normalcy is going to be technology.
Yeah. Well, you know, Rick, for our listeners who are tuning in, Indian Americans contribute heavily to the United States through leadership, technology, advancements in healthcare, and robust economic growth. And we see that the way we were raised, we were taught to stretch a dollar, right? If your parents made a dollar, they would make sure they take 20 cents and put it away. And they teach
Absolutely.
You how to save. They teach you to keep it for a rainy day. And bringing that background into the Orange County Clerk of Courts, I can see you streamlining the process and also saving the taxpayers money, because you've been taught that from a child.
Yeah, you know that essentially is a part of it. That's in our DNA, as you've properly stated. But it also has to be, you know, as an individual going into these endeavors, you have to care. And I find that to be the most prime word to utilize here. When you care about what you do, Sita, you get the maximum accomplishment. There are only three things, the three reasons people do things in life. You're told to, you have to, or you genuinely care and want to do it. And when you care and you want to do it, you exemplify the results. You know, Martin Luther King said, if you're called to be a street sweeper, sweep the street like Beethoven conduct music, sweep the street like Michelangelo paid. And what he's saying is essentially, no matter what you do, do it to the best of your ability and do it with care.
Well, you just described me. My husband have a little hobby chicken farm where he has pigeons and chickens and koi fish and all that. And every once in a while, I'll dress up and go over there with high heel shoes and lipstick to help clean the chicken coop.
There you go.
I'm like, oh my God. But anyways, so tell us, what exactly are the responsibilities of the clerk of court?
So that's the most popular question I get. And I promise you this, when I leave office, that will not be a question, because I plan to have outreach events and educate the public as to what the clerk of court does. That is so important for the public to understand, you know, what the function of this office is. As property appraiser, that's the very question they asked when I took office in 2012. What does the property appraiser do? When I left office, Sita, people were telling each other what the property appraiser did, because I went out to over a thousand outreach events. I had large events where I had up to 2,000 people in the audience talking about, you know, the function of our office. The clerk of court, quite simply, is responsible for everything that happens to you when you need interaction with the court before you see the judge. Once you see the judge and he hits that gavel and gives the final decision, everything that transpires after that is where the clerk of court functions. So it is an administrative position. It is a ministerial position that handles and supports the court system. In addition to that, the clerk of court is responsible for marriages. The clerk of court also is the intake for passports for our citizens.
Yeah. Well, you know, for our listeners who are tuning in, we're speaking with Rick Singh, and he's a friend of mine. I invited him to come on the show today and speak about the wealth of knowledge that Indo-Caribbean and Americans have here in the United States and how we give back. So, Rick, there are so many people of different ethnicities now who are running for office. And I have to say that some folks have different last names, and I've heard where people have to change their name to run for office. Some folks don't even want people to know if they're Hindu or Muslim or Christian or whatever. How do you feel like you're a minority and you're a stellar guy. You go out there, you speak well, people understand you. You know what you're talking about. And there are so many people that they judge whether it's the color of their skin or an accent. You don't have that, but you are an Indian, you're a minority. Do you have any pushback from people where you have to explain to them why it is you want to run for office as well?
Yeah, you know, I get that from time to time from some segments of the community. But again, it's a matter of educating them. It's a matter of understanding who you are. And having the confidence to stand tall and explain your position if you need to, and be proud of who you are. You know, one of the greatest honors that I have had as an elected official is being the keynote speaker in the federal building to people who just raised their hand and took the oath as newly minted citizens to the United States of America. And what I tell them is always be proud of who you are. Never forget where you come from, and do this. Share your culture, share your tradition, share your heritage, share your music, share your cuisine, share all of this richness that you bring to America. This is what makes America great. When we blend our culture, heritage, and cuisine and all the aspects of our being with each other. And again, share it and educate your American counterparts and let them know where you come from and be proud of who you are.
Right.
You know,
and it is a melting pot, right? And the thing is, when young people see you running for office, you inspire others. Because, you know, you see so much stuff going on social media with folks in New York and all over the United States who are doing great things. But unfortunately, because they're Muslim or because their last name is not a regular, you see a lot of pushback. And I feel like we have to speak up and say to folks that it doesn't matter the color of our skin or our religion. If we love the United States and we want to give back to the United States, allow us, let us in, because it's not all the time that Indian folks or Asian folks are going to say, I'm going to listen to my parents and become a lawyer, a doctor, engineer, and open a business. Some of us do want to run for office as well, and we should encourage them. But sometimes I feel like folks are discouraged because of the current political climate.
Yes, indeed. You know, and to be quite candid, I see that every day on social media. You know, if my team is posting something, there'll always be some pushback. And you know the undercurrent of that is based on race or based on some bias, if you will. But you've got to move forward. You can't let that hold you back. You got to forge ahead, you know. Eagles don't really eat worms. They fly at a higher region. A tiger walking through a village doesn't look back at a barking dog. He just walks through the village. And that's what we've got to do. You know, we're talented people. We have skills. And when this nation was founded, you know, one of the founding fathers used those very words, lend me your talents and skills as we forge ahead to build this nation. What he was talking about is people from all sector of our society coming forward from private sector and lending our talents and skills to the public sector to make our community, our nation, our country, our state bigger and better, I should say. And we should all embrace that ideal of being public servants. I think in our own humble capacity, you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, but there's some aspect of your being that have to give back to our society. We can't be just takers. And again, I started this conversation with my mother, that is something that was bred into me by my mother. And of course, our forefathers have taught this back in the Caribbean, back in Guyana, back in Trinidad. This is part of our culture to give back.
Well, you know, it's living a life of purpose, right? And a life of service. So let's segue a little bit into voting. There's three ways of voting. You vote by mail, in person, and you could you mail in your ballot, early vote, or you could vote in person. And everyone needs to know that the primary is on the 18th of August. So tell our listeners a little bit, give us your 30-second elevator speech, why they should vote for you on the 18th, and where?
So again, Orange County is a big county. My candidacy is based on experience. I'm the only candidate in this race that has executive leadership position, leadership experience. I can hit the ground running from day one. I have balanced the budget. Anybody else in this race has not have executive leadership experience. There's a difference between, driving the bus and running the transportation, the transportation authority. You have to have the experience. You have to have the skills. You have to have the talent and ability. And you have to, experience does matter. The right type of experience does matter. This is not a legal position. This is not a position where you can just be an attorney and think you know how to run the clerk of court. This is an administrative position, and that ought to be clear. So I come to this candidacy with a proven track record. As I said before, I've won international awards for excellence in service. I've won international awards in customer service and technology, ranked number one in the state 8 years in a row for accuracy and efficiency out of 67 counties. So again, I come to this candidacy with a great deal of pride, a great deal of enthusiasm, and I can't wait to be the clerk of court and to serve the people of Orange County.
Yes, and give us your website, Rick, in case somebody want to go on and maybe make a donation or learn some stuff.
Absolutely. My website is very simple. VoteRickSingh.com. My last name and first name, VoteRickSingh.com. And of course, early voting started today as we speak. Many voters are going to the ballot, to the strategic location of these polling stations. There are about 27 in Orange County. I'm sure they're in Brevard County also. But again, voters in Orange County that are Democrats can vote for me. Mail-in ballots, there are about 30,000 mail-in ballots that people are still holding. I urge you to, fill those ballots out and get them into the mail and make sure you vote for Rick Singh. And of course, Election Day is August 18th, so that is the day for this campaign, and we are again forging ahead and looking forward for positive results. We are again eager to serve the people of Orange County and have a positive impact on this community.
Yeah. And the good thing about you, Rick, is you did lead a large countywide office and you delivered stellar results. If we Google you, we could see all the great things you did with energy and technology and all that. And I think people should pay attention and go on your website and check it out. But I wanted to ask you really quick, when you think about where you came from a little child to the United States, I bet that makes you feel just absolutely wonderful. The good Lord has blessed you so much and on your time on planet Earth. And share with our listeners that feeling of pride, not just for the Guyanese, Indian, Caribbean community that you have brought here in the United States, but share with us how that makes you feel, because I know that for us who are watching you from outside in, you are a beacon of hope and pride for all of us.
Well, thank you for saying that. That's very kind of you. You know, Sita, I look at this as an opportunity. I look at it as really my story could not be told in any other country, any other region, any other state in the world, not even my own country of birth. And this is an attribute to the greatness of America that gives you the opportunity to come here and make something of yourself. And we ought to live a simple life, but we ought to be a sample and an example to the people around us. And that is what I strive for. I strive to better our community, and we are an inspiration to our young people, and to be a source of inspiration is indeed an honor and a privilege, and that's something as public figures we need to hold in the highest of esteem and live up to those expectations.
Rick, when people talk about sustainability, I remember our village back home when we would use the mud and the cow dung to lipe and the fireside, and we would have a pot boiling just on wood and mud. And I think about the humble, simple life we had and how people didn't have a lot of stress. And then you come to the United States and you could take that humble beginnings and you could make so much of yourself because there's so much opportunities available here in the United States.
Sita, I want to share with you, when I was growing up, my first 10 years, we had no running water. Our drinking water was from the rain.
Yeah, we had barrels.
Yeah, the water we took a bath with was from the creek. It was fresh water, the fresh running water, filtered by the leaves and vegetation, and that's essentially what we took a bath with. And, you know, we had maybe one or two pair of pants, and that's what they were. But they were never dirty. They were always ironed and pressed. Our shirts were impeccably clean. Our house, you know, I remember living in a house that had a dirt floor, but that house was immaculate. My mother was a meticulous person. You know, you could be a king and walk into that house and feel
I think
sense
that's
of,
why you and I get along so well, because we had the same setup where we had the coquille broom. And my mom would clean her little dirt house made with carrot leaves so clean that, like you say, a prince or a princess or a king could walk in there and say, there is no litter. And I think what you bring to the United States, to the office of the clerk of courts, is, you know, you bring this background where you would look out for everyone. And I think that's what we need, people like you to care in office with great leadership skills that would say, this is not about me, it's about everybody else.
Yeah, you know, when people come to these offices, they bring a great deal. Firstly, coming to these offices is extremely stressful. So, you know, you have to train your staff to have empathy. You need to have to train your staff to have compassion. You know, Gandhi said, the visitor to our office is the most important visitor in the world. They're not an interruption on our work. They're the reason for it. We're not here because of them. They're the reason we're here. So, again, it's a wonderful analogy and a wonderful lesson on customer service. And I actually, I'll tell you a quick secret before I go. You know, every employee in my administration had to learn that verbatim and write it on a blank piece of paper because I tested them. And those that were not able to write it verbatim, I sent them home and said, come back when you're ready to work. Because you've got to set standards, and you have to set the agenda for your employees to know that you're serious, you take this public service serious, and they're there to serve the public. And it's
talk
important
about
for
accountability
them to understand.
And transparency. Rick's going to do it.
Well, what a great segment that we had with you, Rick Singh. Thank you so much. And all of this will be posted on our website as well as all social media. We're going to take a minute and listen to our sponsors. We'll be right back right after with Viewpoint with Sita and Friends.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. Delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture. Located
Junk
in Titusville,
Financial
Florida,
Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere on God's magnificent planet.
That's right. On 1510wwbc.com, you can listen live and get us on any one of your listening channels. But I do want to say that this segment is paid for and approved by the campaign to elect Timmy Tucker for Brevard County Judge.
I swear, Timmy Tucker. Yeah, I'm so grateful that we took that step and that you said you would come on our show. Because I requested it a few times, and I'm like, oh gosh, she's so busy. I don't know if she'll be able to come. But I think your experience, after reading your bio, 30 years experience, you went to law school, and you worked at one of the places here in town, the Clayton Crab, is it a crab factory?
Clayton's Crab Company.
Yes, and I used to go there as well, so I feel like I know you already. So tell us a little bit about where you grew up. You went to law school. You have your own law firm, and now you decided to run for county judge.
Yes, ma'am, I did. And first, I want to say thank you, Sita, for having me on your show, and thank you for all the listeners for giving me this opportunity to talk to you. I was raised in southeastern rural Kentucky. I was the child of a homemaker and a construction worker. I moved to Florida with my mother after she divorced my father. My sister and I went to Florida with her. She came to Florida as a single mom with a high school education and no job skills. So it was an amazing opportunity. And as a little girl, I did not understand or appreciate the bravery it took to leave what you know to come to what you don't know.
It's like going to a different country. It really is.
It absolutely is. It was a different way of talking.
Culture shock.
It was a different lifestyle. We had no idea what we were getting into. And as I said, my mother is the bravest woman that I know looking back. And I wish that I could have given her more support and encouragement as a child, but I didn't understand what she was doing.
Yeah, because as a child, you don't know how much it takes out of a person to uproot yourself and your children and just go someplace else.
Right. That's exactly right. She had no job. As I said, she had no working skills. My mom and I worked as a substitute janitor at Cape View Elementary School when their regular janitor called out to make ends meet. We would clean the desk, vacuum the carpet, wash the windows. And to this day, I can't go by windows and not look for fingerprints and think, oh my goodness, please no one touch those because someone's going to have to clean those.
Right. And you have extensive experience as an attorney. So tell our listeners a little bit about the experience you have, because that is what people are looking at because you're running for judge.
So I do have extensive experience as an attorney. I've been an attorney for about 33 years, actually, a little over 30 years, three decades. I graduated from Merritt Island Christian School. I graduated from Cumberland College in Williamsburg, Kentucky. My mom didn't want me going to a big university because I'd graduated from a small high school. So she sent me back to live with my grandparents, which taught me so much as a college student living with my grandparents and allowed us to grow a lot closer. I graduated from the University of Kentucky College of Law. I then, in 1998, moved back to Brevard County, Florida, to be with my family. From there, I wanted to get litigation experience, and at first, I will tell you that I am the first person in my family to go to college, much less to graduate from a school beyond college. So when I say I am here because I am on the shoulders of the women who went before me, like my mother and my grandmother, it's absolutely true. It's just amazing. I became a public defender in early 1999, an assistant public defender, where I started litigating cases. I've had 25 jury trials where I've picked the jury, I've completed opening statement, examined, cross-examined witnesses, closing argument, and got a verdict. I've had many more jury trials where I was second chair, helping out and assisting, but 25 when I was the lead chair on it.
And you're well respected because you were also the president of the Bar Association here in Brevard County, Florida.
I was blessed enough to be elected and respected enough to be elected to be the Brevard County Bar Association president. The bar had about 600 attorneys at that time. They were from Brevard County, Florida, and some even out of state. And I had the privilege of leading them throughout the year. I've also been president of the Young Lawyers Division of the Brevard County Bar Association, and I'm currently president-elect of the Brevard County Association of Women Lawyers.
Wow, and you're also on the board for Eckerd Connects.
I am.
See, I did my homework.
You absolutely did. I am on the board of Eckerd Connects, which serves our community in such a big way to help families get back on their feet.
Right. And for our listeners who are tuning in, Timmy Tucker is currently a candidate for county court judge, specifically running in the Brevard County Court Group 3 in Florida. And here's the thing. She is on the ballot in the entire county, right?
Yes, ma'am.
So if you look at your ballot, if you got your ballot like I did, because I vote by mail, you're on there. And I already checked. Penciled it in, whatever.
Thank you.
Put the ink on it, right? So anyways, but I believe in you. So talk to us a little bit. We know that there's always changes that people want to see, right? Tell us your top three concerns about the position you're running for.
Let me start by saying why I decided to run for judge.
Right.
I have been in private practice where I'm the managing shareholder at Tucker Mitnick. I established it in 2004. I decided to leave a job where I make more money than I would make as a county court judge because I see judges all around us who are being affected and influenced by societal pressures and external influences. And if the judiciary is to let that happen, it hurts the three separate but equal branches of government, the legislative, the executive, and the judicial. It also hurts checks and balances, because if the judiciary is aligning with one branch of government over the other, then you don't have checks and balances. So I thought, if I don't stand up and do something in my community, then how can I expect anyone else to change anything?
Almost like you ask yourself, who will? Right?
Exactly.
Someone has to take that step, right? And it is, we've seen so many of our friends who run for office, and yes, people give up so much for the position that they're seeking. And it's not easy to run for office. We all know that. It's difficult work, but you got to believe in what you want. And this is what you want. So what are some of the most pressing community issues you see right now with the courts and law enforcement?
The most pressing community issue that I see, as I've said, number one is that judges should follow the law. Our legislative branch writes the law. They're elected by the people to actually do that very job. The judiciary interprets the law. I can't, or judges shouldn't, I as a judge would not create law. I would enforce the law as it's written by our legislature according to the will of the people that elected our legislature. A second issue I find is that timeliness comes into play. Cases should not be lingering on the docket for months and sometimes even years. So judges have to come in ready to work. If court starts at 8 o'clock, the judge does not need to step onto the bench at 8 o'clock. No, the litigants are there. They're prepared. You need to be there at 8 o'clock, ready to start the case at 8 a.m., so that you can issue a timely ruling. These people's lives are held up because they're not getting timely rulings.
Right. And most people, when they think about a judge, they think about somebody who's fair, they want justice, and they want you to be a good listener, right?
That's exactly right.
And communication, right? People want you to listen. They want you to look at them. But how do you plan to ensure that fairness is in all of your rulings?
I think the only way that judges can ensure fairness is in every single ruling is to follow the law as it is written and apply it to every person who comes into the courtroom, regardless of race, religion, creed, anything. You have to follow the law. And if you follow the law, everyone who comes in will be treated equally. By that same token, everyone who comes into the courtroom should be treated with dignity and respect. They're human beings. So everyone should have equal access to the law. Every judge should be fair and impartial and treat everyone equally.
Right. And here's a question that someone sent for me on text. What is the difference between a county court judge and a circuit court judge?
A county court judge, which is the position I'm running for, is more a court of the people. It handles civil disputes of $50,000 or less. So if there's a money dispute, most people are not going to go over $50,000. It handles small claims court, landlord tenants, misdemeanor crimes, which are crimes punishable up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine. It can handle some, it's been assigned recently, non-domestic violence injunctions. So it can handle those types of issues. And it handles uncontested family law matters.
Yeah. Right. And you look like the kind of person that, considering your background, you bring a lot of, you look like you have management skills that you could bring to the bench. Am I correct?
You are correct.
Yes.
And I think to run a successful private practice, yes, you have to have time management skills. You have to be able to talk to the people that are coming into your office in a way that they understand it. You have to be able to explain the law to the people coming into your office in a way they understand it. If you don't do those things, they don't hire you. And as a private attorney, you're not relying on a government paycheck to pay you, regardless if you do a good job, a bad job, or a mediocre job. As a private attorney, if you can't do those things, you don't get paid at all, which means you don't make your mortgage payment or your car payment. So those are skills that you learn very quickly as a private attorney.
And how do you plan to manage a caseload and prioritize the cases? I mean, is that something that the judges do, or is that done before you guys get on the bench in the morning?
The question is, well, the answer to the question is yes and no, mm-hmm, right? In criminal court, I would primarily, I believe, be assigned to a civil position. So the cases with the civil position are organized according to case number or hearing, when they filed their notice of hearing and what time they noticed it for. Criminal law, a little bit different. There's a docket where all the criminal cases are put on that. And generally, priority is given to older cases to get them resolved and get the litigants moving on with their lives. And that's true whether they're the accused, right? Because you need to move on with your life and see what happens next. And the victim, because the longer this goes on, the more those wounds stay open and fresh and can't heal for a victim of a case.
Right. And we often hear people talk about the words respect and trust and, you know, empathy and compassion and all that. How do you plan, how can the courts maintain the public trust? Because you always hear people, I don't trust law enforcement. I don't trust the courts. I mean, I happen to be one of those people that I do trust the court system and I do trust law enforcement, because I haven't had any untoward dealings with things like that. But what do you say to people who say they don't trust?
What I say to people who say I don't trust the court system is that you really need to examine it. The first question I would ask is, why don't you trust the
right
court system? Let's examine what brought you to that position. And I would ask a question, have you gone to court? Have you seen judges in action? And what made you make that statement? And I think one of the biggest things people can do,
a lot of times it's a personal experience, or sometimes it's hearsay. Sometimes they hear something on social media. We're all living in this world where you've got to check your facts out yourself.
I think that's exactly true. You've got to figure out the root cause. And is that really what happened? Is that the perception of someone who told you something, who told someone else that that happened to them? But I think the biggest thing the judiciary can do to maintain trust is follow the law and not apply external influence and societal pressures. I mean, judges are not there to be popular. They're there to follow the law. And if someone doesn't like the law or what's happening, then the way to change that is to go to your legislature and vote someone else in who is more the will of the people.
Yeah. And so for our listeners, we're talking with Timmy Tucker, right?
Yes, ma'am.
This is amazing that, you know, you're giving up making more money in your private practice to run for office, make less money, but it's because you care about the people. I feel like this is something you always wanted to do.
It is. It is absolutely. As a matter of fact, my grandmother and I, when I lived with her and my papa during college, would sit around and talk about me going to law school, talking about the plan after, and talking about how I could make society better. Your last guest talked about dirt floors. We did not have dirt floors where I lived, but my aunt had an outhouse. And within my generation, I've seen people in rural Kentucky without indoor plumbing who had a well that they would pump the water and carry the water back to the house that would have to use the outhouse to use the bathroom. I am not a fan of the outhouse. I will go on record
as saying
that.
I remember
that.
There were frogs in ours.
Snakes.
So. Frogs. And they'd be looking at you like, you're my friend. Come on in. Yeah. There are other candidates obviously running for this position, right? What distinguishes you from those other candidates? Because me meeting you, I can feel your aura. I could tell that you are going to be very fair. I think that people who see you and talk to you, they can trust you. There's something about you that is humble, but yet still quite educated to make decisions. And I want people to see that in you as well.
Thank you. I hope they do.
Yeah.
I think what distinguishes me from, I only have one candidate opposing me. I think what distinguishes me is that I have years of experience. I've been an attorney since 1992. Leadership. I have been the president of the bar. I've been in the Inns of Court. I've been awarded Mentor of the Year from the Inns of Court, which is a professional legal organization. I'm AV rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, which I think 1% of the attorneys in the country maintain that rating. I have knowledge. I've been in private practice, like I said, since 2004. And there are several other things that distinguish me. And I would encourage everyone, and I don't know if they have access to BECCA, which is the Brevard County Clerk of Courts system, to look up my name, Timmy, T-I-M-I Tucker, and my opponent's name, and see the differences between us right there in print.
And I think Ellen is going to look up your website. Well, you could give us your website too.
Sure.
Yes.
It's Timmy, T-I-M-I, 4, F-O-R, Judge, J-U-D-G-E, .com.
And are judges required to stay up to date with legal developments and changes in the law?
Absolutely.
And what is your plan for that?
Well, judges have conferences at least every year. Judges and attorneys should all stay up and be current on the law and the cases. And we have things called continuing legal education. We have Judges College, where judges, newly elected judges, actually attend school to get up to date, to learn a lot of the things that you don't think about when becoming a judge, because you believe it's being in court, it's applying the law to the facts of the case and ruling in a way that everyone can understand, that's very uncomplicated, and people know what to do and not to do.
Yeah. You know, everybody remembers the movie Legally Blonde, right? And of course, my daughter is an attorney as well, and she works for a great firm in Orlando, corporate law. She does extremely well. I've never thought a child could make so much money, but it's all about billable hours, right?
Yes, it is.
We learned that very early in her career, billable hours. But in Legally Blonde, we all watched how it was difficult for people to go to law school, right? And so many people, they have a choice, law, medicine, whatever they choose. What would you say to young girls out there in today's world? People are trying to decide where to spend their money when they go to college. Am I going to get a good return on my investment? There are so many people that are trying to figure that out. What would you tell them?
I would tell them that you should go with a profession that you believe makes you happy, provided that you can pay for your rent, your groceries, your car payment, and your health insurance. That is the talk I had with my son who's in college. I want him to follow his dreams. I want him to be happy. But those are the basic things that he has to
have. I think you have a little
have.
Indian in you, too. Because we would tell our kids, oh, you want to draw, you want to do art. That's okay. You can do well with that. But first, get a profession where you could pay your bills, right? But what areas of law would you say mostly shaped your professional career? Because it's so much, right? I never thought it was so much until, of course, my brother was Attorney General of Trinidad and Tobago, too. So we have a lot of lawyers in the family. But some people, it's criminal. Some people, it's corporate. Some people, it's civic. What was yours?
So there were two, really, that have mostly shaped my career. One is assistant public defender. When I found out that people who are not guilty could be charged with crimes, because I was not raised in a world where I was exposed to that happening. And I was also exposed to people who had very extreme circumstances that prohibited them from doing things that they thought they were going to do. For example, as an assistant public defender, I had a person who had pled to a crime and received a probationary sentence. And this is one of the first encounters I had had. I did not plea him to the probationary sentence, but he violated probation. And I went to speak to him because he was incarcerated for violating his probation. And I was yelling at him. Now, keep in mind, we were the same age, so it wasn't as bad. I wasn't yelling at an elder, but how could you be on probation? How could you plea to this? And how did you not show up? Well, his answer was, I don't have a car. Well, my answer was, you have a phone. Why didn't you use the phone? No, I don't have a phone. Well, why didn't you get your mom or dad to take you? I've been on my own since I was 15. Right, I live under a tree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that has really shaped my thinking in having people commit to things.
So before, we have 1 minute left, yes. Tammy. So tell our listeners what day to vote. And of course, we know the three types of ways to vote. So August 18th.
August 18th is the primary election. There are multiple polls that are going to be open all throughout Brevard County. All of Brevard County can vote for me. And our early voting begins August 8th. And runs through August 15th.
Right.
And we will make sure we get all of this great information, including your fantastic website, though. Very easily navigatable.
And you know, what we hear today, Ellen, is that everything comes down to education, opportunities, and guidance. People like Timmy Tucker, who will be elected to the county court, we want you there because you're fair.
Yes, ma'am, I
absolutely
am, and thank you.
We'll make sure we get all this great info out. Thank you again for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. We'll be back next Monday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC.